that are written by Robin Coast Lewis. She is an African-American woman who is the Poet Laureate of Los Angeles. Robin Coast Lewis wrote, "Maybe life is just this, walking with each other from one dark room to another. Maybe life is just this, walking with each other from one dark room to another and looking." I don't know about you, but right now, many of us are walking with each other.
Amen.
From one dark room to another. And we are looking. We are searching. Yes. We're looking for an end to COVID-19. Amen. We're looking for work. We're looking to end injustice. We're looking for peace in our life. Amen. Most of us are looking. And that brought to mind the words of County Cullen. Some of you know County Cullen was the African-American poet, the Harlem Renaissance poet. And he wrote, "From the unremitting beat made by cruel padded feet walking through my body's street." From one unremitted beat. You know, for African-Americans, our walk, our journey has been, if nothing else, an unremitted, unbroken, uninterrupted journey from generation to generation. Yes. Somebody ought to say amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, we have journeyed a long time.
Yeah. Yes.
We've been walking to protest injustice, to promote our worth and our existential value.
Hallelujah.
And beloved, we can be thankful that the simple act of walking, the simple act of walking, moving at a regular pace by lifting and putting one foot down, then the other, each foot in turn, never having both feet on the ground at once, has moved us forward. Blessedly, this simple act of moving forward physically can be repurposed for protest. Amen?
Yes.
It can be, the simple act of walking can be used for protest.
Yes.
And it can also be repurposed for spiritual growth. You see, when you walk in alignment, with the will of God for your life, you can see the road ahead.
Hallelujah.
You can avoid and overcome obstacles.
Yes.
The Bible uses a few terms to describe what a relationship with God looks like. Some of those terms imply movement, such as walking with God. Walk.
Yes.
Or walking.
Yes.
Are the Bible's most frequent used metaphors. Just think, those words walk and walking are used almost 300 times in the Bible to indicate interaction and relationship, and to indicate making progress toward a destination. And aren't we all trying to get somewhere? I say, aren't we all trying to get somewhere?
Yes.
In Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, we read, "After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters."
Yes.
Think about that. Enoch walked with God, and God walked with him for 300 years. You know, there's a meaning there, that if you're walking with God, God extends so many of the blessings in your life, yes, sometimes years, but the blessings are there if you're walking with God. In Genesis 6:9, we read Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. In Deuteronomy 5:33, we read, you shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, yeah, that you may live and that you may go well with you and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess.
Hallelujah.
If you what? Walk with God.
Yes.
In Psalm 1 and verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And Micah 6:8 makes it plain again. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy,
hallelujah,
and what? And to walk.
Yes.
To walk humbly with your God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And to walk humbly with your God. There are similar scriptures scattered throughout the Bible, scriptures that provide a composite picture of the wide variety of ways for the godly person to walk in alignment with the will of God. In the Bible, God speaks directly to us. Think about it. God speaks directly to us. From the very beginning, God had a relationship with Adam and Eve, and Genesis 3:8 says what? That God walked with them in the garden in the cool of the day. God walked,
yes,
with them.
Yes, yes.
God walked with them. God created you and me for a walking relationship. Woo! For a walking relationship that involves companionship, dialogue. God walks with us to be in dialogue with us. God walks with us for intimacy, for joint decision making. God is walking with us for joint decision making. That's a powerful lesson right there. God is, hallelujah, walking with us. Not for God to make the decision alone,
yes,
not for us to make the decision alone,
yes,
but for joint decision making, for mutual delight and shared dominion.
Praise God.
Not my words, but that's the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Beloved, God longs to walk with you, which is why God's arms of grace have been and are right now pulling you into a closer walk with God,
yes,
in,
yes,
this very moment.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Today, I want us to focus on one particular scripture that opens and challenges us with understanding what it means to walk with Jesus.
Yes.
So I want you to get your Bibles out right now. And we cannot miss this scripture because it is about the alignment with God. And 1 John, so if you got your Bibles, look, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And you can mark it there. Write it down so you can look at it later. Because God delivers the message right now, and God will continue to open that message to you over the time. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 reads thus. Whoever claims to abide in God must walk as Jesus walked.
Hallelujah.
Whoever claims to abide in God must walk perepateo is the Greek word perepateo as Jesus walked. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing of God's most holy word. I want you to think about it. Whoever abides in God, I want you to know that means exactly what it says. But so often we don't allow ourselves to wrestle with the word of God. The ideas in scripture seem to just pass over us, barely breaking through our consciousness. The scripture should encourage you. It should affirm you. The scripture should awaken you.
Hallelujah.
And give you relief. Or, let me tell the truth here.
Yes.
The scripture should challenge you, ruffle your feathers, and sometimes even confuse you, invite you into an argument with yourself. So if you're arguing with yourself right now, that's okay. Stay in that argument. Be aware of your argument with yourself. And guess what, beloved? The scripture should even provoke you at times to argue with God.
Amen.
You're not the first.
Amen.
To argue with God. The word of God shows, and the psalmists indicate that they argue with God. And even Jesus argued with God. Why have you forsaken me, is what Jesus said on the cross. Listen, be aware, be conscious of your arguments, of your moments of affirmation. For that is the time when God is talking with you and you are entering into a dialogue with God. The bottom line is, when you read the scripture or hear the words of scripture, I invite you to allow the words to touch you, to impact your thinking, and to literally touch your heart.
Yes.
Listen. When you hear the words, whoever claims to abide in God must walk as Jesus walked. Listen to your own thoughts. Listen to your heart. When you hear the word abide, do you think of yourself as living in God? Living with God all around you. And if you do, does that thinking, or does that reality actually impact your life?
Yeah.
Does it impact your life? We are quick to claim to be in God's presence. You know, a lot of us walk around and say, oh, I know that God is here and God is with me. But if that's your claim, praise the Lord. And in fact, that's one of my affirmations. I frequently say, and you've heard me say, God is in me, with me, through me, and for me. And where God is, there can be no imperfection. That's a powerful affirmation, and it's scripturally based, and it affirms the reality of abiding in God. God is in me, with me, through me, and for me. I say it over and over again in the course of a day. And I love that affirmation because it grounds me in my relationship with God.
Yes,
it grounds me. I've said it more times than I can count. But I want to add that the power of this scripture this morning is it not only affirms the reality of abiding in God.
Yes.
And that's the powerful reality that we start right there. But it also instructs us what to do when we abide in God. It challenges us. It reminds us. It says that whoever abides with God must peritapeo, walk with God as Jesus walked. If you abide in God, it follows that God is your abode. You follow me? If you abide in God, God is your abode. It is your dwelling place. And there are standards and sacred values in the divine dwelling place. If you walk up into my home and try to abide here, there are codes and values and rules in my abode. But if you're in the abode of God, don't you know there are standards there too?
Hallelujah.
So what does walking like Jesus look like?
Yes.
Walking like Jesus can mean that you do the same things that Jesus did. You can do the same things. It means that you can baptize that you can feed the hungry, that you can heal the sick, that you can heal the sick. I want you to hear that. It means that you can heal the sick. You can perform other miracles in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And walking like Jesus could mean that you fight for justice. And as John Lewis said, that you get in good trouble. You know, Jesus got in good trouble.
Yes, yes.
But walking like Jesus is more complex than that. Walking like Jesus means to act from the same principles as Jesus. It means to reflect the same kind of relationship that Jesus had. It means serving God as Jesus served Almighty God. It means walking like Jesus. Walking like Jesus means, I want you to hear me, it means serving.
Yeah.
It means loving, the agape kind of loving. It means giving. It means giving generously. It means, oh, hallelujah, it means sacrificing.
Yeah.
It means obeying. It means dying to the old life. It means dying to the old life and being resurrected to the new life. And it means growing in God as Jesus did.
Woo!
And walking with Jesus means demonstrating fellowship. You know, fellowship is the pavilion's theme for 2020. Hallelujah. Fellowship is our theme, and it just occurred to me, you know, to follow, you got to have what, 2020 vision, and isn't that a theme for 2020?
Yeah.
You know, you can't follow blindly, lest you trip and fall. Fellowship is not simple imitation. It means true fellowship that is rooted in fellowship with God.
Yes.
You know, that's the guiding compass that moves us in the right direction. When we're in fellowship with God, we can follow. Walking like Jesus is one of the hardest things for most Christians to learn and to do.
Yes.
You need to pay serious attention to how Jesus walked. Jesus walked in total, unrelenting, unbroken fellowship with the divine. And dependence upon the activity of God in whom he lived and had his being. But that seems so hard and for us to learn.
Yes,
but when you are open to the Spirit of God, you can learn what fellowship is and you can embrace it. It is hard for us to get in touch with Jesus, the Jesus in us, or to see the Jesus in one another. You know, we sing the song at the pavilion, the Jesus in me, he's the Jesus in you. We sing it, but do we believe that the Jesus in us can see the Jesus in others?
Hallelujah.
You know, we're quick to say, please, Jesus. Oh, help me, Jesus. But the truth is, I don't know whether you want to hear the truth. I should ask Agnes, should I tell the truth? The truth is, most of us feel I can do it myself.
Watch out now.
Somebody ought to say, ouch. I'd rather do it myself. Yeah. How often does that bell go off in your head? Oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do it myself. You know, we're brought up with the idea, or the world conveys the idea, that we have the independent ability to act on our own, and we can close our eyes and harden our hearts to the fact that it's God that animates us and it is God that empowers us. You know, we seek control, and that's why we're called control freaks. I probably stepped on somebody's toe, and I hope you are in your heart saying, ouch. We seek control rather than power. Let go of the controls and accept the power of God.
Hallelujah.
God will move you up and move you away from those challenges of your life. You know, we say let go and let God, but we really mean give me more control. Let go of the controls and accept the power.
Praise God.
You know,
take it now. Woo.
But we are called, all of us are called. You are called to discover and to embrace a quiet, unrelenting dependence upon the indwelling God who is always at work in you.
Amen.
That is what Christianity is about. And that is what it means to abide in God.
Yes, yes.
A few days ago, our grandchildren called us and they asked Baba Charles about his experience serving in Vietnam. And you know him. He is ready to share. And they're a generation that doesn't know about war, praise the Lord. And they're just beginning to recognize that war is in other places in the world. And indeed, war is even within our shores. So they asked him, tell us about your experiences in Vietnam, Baba. They were fascinated with his stories. You know, we all love to hear Baba Charles talk about his stories, and his grandchildren sat there, and we're on FaceTime, and they listened to his stories. The three of them climbed up in the bed and said, tell us more. And they asked him specifically about the time that he saved a fellow Marine's life. So Charles explained how he rescued a fellow Marine who was severely wounded. That Marine's arm had almost been completely shot off. It was hanging with just a little bit of muscle and a little bit of tendon. And the wounded Marine lay on the ground about 50 yards away. And he was under fire. And he was screaming for help. I want you to get that picture in your mind's eye, being wounded by yourself and hearing rounds fly over your head and in so much pain and agony and aloneness. And Baba Charles heard his scream and he ran out while the enemy was still firing and he rescued his fellow Marine. Our grandchildren were amazed. I could see the concern on their faces, and our oldest granddaughter said, but Baba, you could have been killed. And Charles paused. And he then explained that he had been walking like Jesus walked. He was doing what he believed Jesus would have done. He was walking like Jesus. So many times we are under fire. We are under fire in everyday life. You know, Tia is out of the hospital. We heard that and we praise God that she's out of the hospital, but she's still under fire from the enemy of cancer. Yes. She's still under fire. And we're thankful to the Lord that Rhonda is out of the hospital and in rehab, but she is still under fire from the enemy called COVID-19. So many people are under fire by COVID-19. And as we pray for them, we are praying, beloved, that they walk like Jesus walked. We're praying that they walk like Jesus walked, that they walk in faith.
Hallelujah.
That they're walking with the awareness of their fears, and they know that faith can overtake it. They don't have to deny it. They can have the faith. They can walk in peace, a peace that passes what? All understand. Mike and Tammy and Kia were under fire when they had COVID. And we pray that they would walk like Jesus walked. And hallelujah, they have all recovered.
Hallelujah.
Don't you know that we all are under fire every day of our life? Under fire from concerns about illness affecting our body, our mind, and our spirit. Parents today are under fire with trying to work and trying to support their children with online learning. Parents are under fire with the concerns for their children for sundry matters. That's what parenting is. We're under fire. Young adults are under fire today. We're trying to hold on to the joy that they want and that they need from a real social life.
Yes.
So when you're hearing your young adults complain, they're under fire. And all the while, they're trying to respect the wisdom of social distancing.
Yes, yes.
You know, we're under fire simply trying to exercise our right to vote. We're under fire. And African Americans remain under fire when we're driving while Black, where we're working while Black, and when we're walking while Black. We're under fire. We're under fire. Yet, notwithstanding the enemy of illness, notwithstanding the enemy of sadness, confusion, notwithstanding the enemy of racism, woundedness of any kind, notwithstanding any lack or limitation, we have to know that whoever claims to abide in God must walk as Jesus walked.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said, and it's recorded in the Gospel of John, no branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine.
Hallelujah.
Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Jesus. Unless you remain where you're walking like Jesus. If you want fruit, and you've got to decide what fruit you want. If you want the fruit of healing, if you want the fruit of hope, if you want the fruit of joy, if you want the fruit of freedom from injustice, I don't know what your fruit is, but desire the fruit that God has for you and rest in God. Yes, and walk like Jesus walked.
Yes.
Walk like Jesus walked.
Hallelujah.
That is what produces good fruit.
Hallelujah.
That is what gives you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
Abide in God. And walk like Jesus walked.
Yes, yes.
Abide in God.
Hallelujah.
Be aware where you are truly living. And hallelujah. Get the strength to stand and then walk. Hallelujah. Walk like Jesus walked. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
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 Glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We need to walk like. And the blessing amen. Is. Hallelujah, that at the pavilion of God, and when you're in a faith community that knows what love and joy is, if you're in a faith community that has witnessed the miracles we've witnessed, we know what it means to walk with one another.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We have rejoiced together. We've cried together. We pray together. Amen. And we even play together. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
We know what it means to walk with one another, and we truly know what it means to walk with Jesus. Amen.